Reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9 to 18. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was like white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining all brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kevin. So it's the end of our year with the Bible. Back in January, started off in Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. And today we make it to Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. You may have noticed, those that haven't been for a couple of weeks, I was given a gift. I was given my coat rack of mystery. You'll know when I do some of the Sundays when we do questions and answers. And I said, there are some things we haven't got answers to, and I'll hang them on the coat rack of mystery. We'll know one day, and we trust God to do all those things. To be honest with you, I'm very tempted to hang the whole book of Revelation on the coat rack of mystery. It's a really strange book. And first I'm going to see if this will work. If it doesn't, Joel will click for me. It tends to turn people like this. Conspiracy theories with tinfoil on their heads. They get all excited about it. And, oh, there's this message and this message, and there's this secret thing hidden in it. And, oh, do you know, if you add up the letters of Donald Trump's name together with the date he was inaugurated and take away the date of my grandma's birthday, it's 666. It either has this effect on people or it has this effect on people. And they go all, ooh. We got all Halloween about it. But what is this book at the end of the Bible? Why does it get... To be honest with you, I reckon there are more books that have been written about the book of Revelation than about any other single book in the whole Bible. It fascinates people. And it is actually one of my favourite books of the Bible. But we have to be careful. We don't want to end up like this chap. Be fairly difficult for me to end up like that chap, I appreciate, but you know. Is that the message of Revelation? Well, there's a few things that Revelation isn't. So let's get those out of the way before we get on to think about what it is. It's not a code. It's written in symbolic language. It's written in a language that uses pictures to tell stories. But they would have been pictures that people would have understood. They wouldn't be as obscure to them as they are to us now. It's not like the Enigma machine. You don't need to know the settings. There are some people that would love to tell you, if you know the right settings, you can get secret knowledge. People have been trying to do that since Jesus was around. It's one of the great heresies in the church throughout the centuries. It's called Gnosticism. You don't need to remember that word. But basically it's saying we've got a secret knowledge that only a few people are allowed. The Bible is not a code. If you've ever heard about this book, The Bible Code by Michael Drosnin, he has a special way of using letters, equidistant arrangements of letters. And if you do it in a pattern, you can find things. Using that Bible code, he predicted the Holocaust, said that the Bible predicted the Holocaust, the Gulf War, and a comet hitting Jupiter. Do you remember Shoemaker-Levy when it hit Jupiter? He reckons that all of those things you can find in the Bible. Several people got quite interested in this. A few people pointed out that he only managed to find things out after they'd happened, not before. So it wasn't much use. But somebody did some work and they found another book that is exactly the same as the Bible. It's a book that predicted the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and the death of Princess Diana, using Michael Drosnin's method of using the Bible to create a code. Do you know what book it was? Any guesses what book it was? Which spiritual book was used to... It's somebody's almanac. No, it wasn't. Any other suggestions about which super spiritual book was used to determine those things? The Quran? No. Harry Potter? No, not quite. It was Moby Dick. In other words, if you collect enough letters together in the same place, you can find anything you want. It's not some sort of code that we need to unpack to discover that the world will end on December the 21st. What was it? 2015 we were supposed to have all gone. Sorry? 2012, that was it. When the Mayan calendar ended. Why on earth they didn't think the Mayans would just go out and buy a new calendar, I don't know. It's not a crystal ball. It's not about peering into the future and seeing the mystic vibes. There aren't any books of the Bible that are meant to do that job. In fact, quite a lot of the books of the Bible say trying to see the future is a bad thing. God sees the future. If we just trust him each day, that's fine. So it's not a crystal ball. And John didn't nip into one of these and shuttle forward a few thousand years to see the end. Unlike Doctor Who, he wasn't present at the end of the world. So what is the book of Revelation? If it's not some sort of strange crystal ball, if it's not the story of the future written down for us, so it will actually happen the actual way it actually says on the actual page. In fact, if you read it, history would repeat itself three or four times through that process, because it's telling the story of God's victory over evil in a variety of different images, in a variety of different ways. What is it? Well, the name gives it away. It's a revelation. It's a giant spiritual light bulb moment. You know that feeling when you've been trying to get something? Someone's been trying to explain something to you, and they're getting exasperated with you, and suddenly you can hear the click in your brain when you get it. And you hear the penny drop onto the ground next to you. It's a spiritual version of that. It was John being allowed by God to see the truth of the battle that was going on around him and around every generation of believers. To see the battle between good and evil, to see what it meant to stand up against evil, to see what the result of that would be, and to see what the outcome of that would be. It's a vision. Those of you that don't wear glasses won't get this analogy quite as well. Those of us who wear glasses, take your glasses off, Put your hands up if you can see, those who've not got good glasses on, put your hands up if you can see me clearly. Right, okay. The rest of us, if we stand up and sneak out, they'll never spot. It's really hard to see without your glasses on. And to some extent, that's how we are in the world. Our eyes don't work as they would was the world the way that God wants it to be. We need spiritual glasses to help us to see God's world clearly. That's what the book of Revelation is. It's a vision. It's a clear view of the way the world is and how we are to behave in it. It is also looking forwards. I don't deny the fact that Bible books look forward. So much of the Old Testament we've talked about looked forward to Jesus. The events in described in Revelation are looking forward to what will come. But actually, they're as true now as they will be in the future. They were as true when John wrote those words down to those churches. Because actually, Revelation is another one of the letters. It was written to seven churches in Asia Minor, the churches that Kevin so valiantly managed to pronounce: Smyrna, Ephesus, Pergamum, Philadelphia, Thyatira, and Laodicea. Is that seven? Ephesus, thank you. I knew I'd forgotten one. Those churches, it was a circular letter, and it was to encourage them. It was to assure them that God was with them. And the main thrust of the book of Revelation is there is evil in the world. That's a given. And it's not like Star Wars, where you have the light side and the dark side, and they're sort of evenly matched. The latest addition to the Star Wars, you know, if the dark rises, the light has to rise to meet it. What a load of codswallop. I love Star Wars. I hate its theology. There is evil in the world because of sin, because of people rebelling against God's good words, because of selfishness, because of greed. All those things come from that. But God's goodness far exceeds the evil that's in the world. And how does that evil manifest itself? Well, the book of Revelation gives us two different images of how evil manifests itself in our world. They might be quite familiar to you. It's either through military power or through economic power. And that's one of the images that's used in Revelation. A military power, an economic power called Babylon. And every generation sees those standing opposed to God. Military power used to oppress. Economic power used to oppress. Military power used to do great evil. Economic power used to do great evil. That's as true as I'm stood here today on the 4th of November 2018 as it was on the 4th of November AD 70 when John's letter first reached Pergamum. And it will be as true on that last day when Jesus comes back to bring an end to evil and suffering. Military and economic power used wrongly causes great evil in the world. That was the message to John's first hearers. That's the message to us today, to resist evil. We are called together. I know you've sung The Big Family of God. I think it's 3 weeks in a row now. Promise we won't be singing it next Sunday. I don't promise we won't sing it again. Because it says an enormous truth. We are called together as God's family to stand up against evil. That's the message of the book of Revelation. Evil can be beaten. Because Jesus is with us. Jesus was with them. Jesus is with us. Evil can be beaten. That's the message. That's our to-do list as Christians. To fight against evil and to follow Christ. The words of the old baptism service. We could have used those words today. To fight against evil, wherever it comes. However we see it arising in the world, it's our job to stand up and say no. Whether that's military power, economic power, domination in families, domination in our schools, bullying in our workplaces, all of those places, we're to fight against evil. We don't just sit there and go, oh, there's nothing we can do. There is. We can take a stand. And what the book of Revelation says is when we do, things won't necessarily go well for us. There's difficult times ahead. There may be trouble ahead. But while we've got Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God's love, let's face the music and dance, because Jesus is coming back. That much is certain. That bit of the book of Revelation is absolutely clear. Jesus is coming back. There will be a day when evil will no longer be allowed to prosper. When it will be brought to an end. That's the promise. We're called to fight it now in order to help people get to know the love of God for themselves. But the day will come when God says enough is enough. My people need to be free. And he will come and he will rescue us. And that message is the same in every generation. When my parents' generation, in the midst of the Second World War, read the book of Revelation, they knew it was for their time. When my grandparents' generation read that book during the First World War, they knew that it was written for their time. When my great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were reading this book, in the era that they knew it was written for their time. Every generation thinks the end times are coming because this book is for every generation. We need to act like Jesus is coming soon because there's so much to do. There's so much to do out there to help a world know that God loves it, to fight against evil, to defend the poor. That's our job. That's our job as the oldest Christian in the room, right the way through to the youngest ones. That's our job, to fight against evil and to follow Christ. Spoiler alert. Spoilers, sweetie. Jesus wins. There's no equivalence of good and bad. There's no uncertainty. It's not like Thanos has snapped his fingers and we don't know how it's going to work out in the next film. We know how this ends. Jesus wins. Full stop. End of story. Or maybe even the start of the real story. Because my favourite bit in the book of Revelation is the very last bit. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And God said, the dwelling of God is with his people. And I will be their people. They will be my people, sorry. And I will be their God. And I will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more sorrow or crying or death or mourning or tears. The old order of things has gone and the new has come. As C.S. Lewis said, our world is but the title page. The cover and the title page. All of our world is that compared to the great story of God that will lie beyond that day when Jesus comes. Who knows what this story will have? In the meantime, we need to be part of his story here. Part of the story that's told in this book. Part of the great sweep of history that began when the world began and will not finish until the world ends. This book spans the whole of time and space. And it's God's love letter to you. It's been an interesting year with the Bible. So next year, let's have another year with the Bible. And then another year with the Bible, and another year with the Bible, because this is the best way I know to stay close to him. But always remember, Jesus wins. There's no doubt of that. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your great love for us in sending Jesus. Thank you that no matter what trials and troubles we may face, you will be with us. You are faithful, you are good, and the evil in the end will not win. Would you give us the courage and strength to do what's right, not just what's easy? Would you give us the courage to stand against evil wherever we see it, in our homes, in our schools, in our shops, in our offices, in our nation and in our world, to play our part in the great battle to see your kingdom come and your will done here on earth. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.